A bit of Chicago's legendary staples, singers, to begin this segment of the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. Rhythm and blues, gospel, country, bluegrass, Irish reels, Polish polkas, Mexican corridos, all are part of Illinois' rich musical heritage. In this portion of the program, we'll talk about this music of Illinois and sample some of it. Our guest is musician and historian Clark Bucky Hawker, the producer of a project of the Illinois Humanities Council called Folk Songs of Illinois. Folk Songs of Illinois is a series of CDs. There are now three CDs in the series that have been released. The first volume features the recording we just heard, I'm Coming Home, as well as 18 other pieces from a wide range of musicians, from Carl Sandburg to the Polish Mountaineers and the Girls of the Golden West. The second volume includes Alison Krauss in Union Station. And in the third volume, the artists you'll find include Big Bill Brunzi and Mahalia Jackson. The tracks come from archives, old 78s, and contemporary recordings. The Illinois Humanities Council's Folk Songs of Illinois CD series is distributed by the University of Illinois Press. Let me tell you a bit more about our guest, Bucky Hawker. He's a musician with more than a dozen recordings to his credit. He's toured the U.S., Canada, and Europe as a musician. He earned a Ph.D. in American history from the University of Minnesota, and he writes and lectures extensively on American music history and the history of American workers and labor. Listeners, I invite you to join us this afternoon. I invite your questions and comments for our guest, Bucky Hawker. You can join us with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number. That number is 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Bucky, good to talk with you. Welcome.
Oh, thanks. Really nice to have a chance to talk to you as well.
What a wonderful project this is. What inspired the idea for Folk Songs of Illinois?
Well, a couple of things really inspired me. I spent many years traveling around the country as a musician and certainly did my share of concerts and gigs in Illinois. And one of the things that impressed me as I was traveling around was just the great musicians that I heard here in Illinois, all different styles. And then the second thing that really encouraged me was I just started digging around in the archives a little bit about 6 or 7 years ago and having conversations with people that knew about regional collections here in Illinois and had some broad knowledge of the state. And we all were of the mind that Illinois has this rich and diverse tradition of folk music, many different traditions from many communities, and it hadn't really been documented. And I just thought to myself one day, well, I've got to somehow see if I can put together a project that at least makes some effort to familiarize people with the richness of these traditions here in Illinois.
Yeah. Might there be other releases down the road?
Well, I sure hope so. No surprise to you or your listeners, you know, funding is always an issue with these kind of projects, and really I think the Humanities Council has been great in undertaking this project and being willing to fund this, and we did get money from the NEH for this and some from the Illinois Arts Council as well. But, you know, it's a little problematic to keep the thing going for too long, but yeah. In all honesty, I certainly would like to see if I can raise some more funds myself and do a little more cooperative work with the Humanities Council. It would be very easy to put out 10 CDs, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
And that would be nice if we could really do that.
And a companion book I'd like to have as well.
Oh, that's the project I'm going to start working on in the next 2 or 3 weeks. In fact, I'm trying to get together a little proposal for the University of Illinois Press. You're ahead of me already on that, but I'd really like to see a collection of essays related to many of the subjects that come up through the music on these three CDs.
Yeah. Well, the artwork, the photographs that are included in liner notes and the ephemera that are in there, just beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm happy to say the artwork that Heather did is just really, really wonderful. And one of the reasons I wanted Heather McAdams in on this project is I've always liked the bright colors she uses, and it really draws your attention to recordings and posters she's worked on, and I really wanted her involved. And the designers that worked on this, Tom Greensfelder and Evan Sald here in Chicago, really got into the project, and so did Heather. I mean, one of the nice things about this project is people invested incredible hours in it trying to make sure that it turned out as well as it did, and I'm just so happy that everybody did that, because it really, I think, shows in the product.
Yeah. Why does Illinois have such a rich musical heritage?
Well, you know, I think the history of the state is such, part of it is such that it sits on these waterways. I mean, that's just sort of a given because of the geology and geography of the state. But I think the waterways brought people here early on. We were on the kind of flank of the frontier at one point. That brought a lot of people in as well. And then, of course, you get into the 20th century, it's not just agricultural people who are settling the state. It's increasingly industrialized, especially in the late 19th, early 20th century, and that draws in all the East European immigrants. So you have, I mean, it's a real confluence of influences here, but it because of those influences, you know, you're really drawing people from the South and you're drawing people from the East within the boundaries of the U.S., but then you're also bringing in all the Serbs, Croatians, Latvians, Estonians, Lithuanians, and everybody else who has their own folk music tradition.
Yeah, and people from Mexico as well,
and
of
Mexico,
course.
And Mexico, absolutely. And that happens early on. I mean, there is the one song on there that's from the 20s, a ballad about workers leaving Texas in the late 1920s, coming up to the Chicago Gary area to work in the steel mills, which was right about the time after World War I when they started to recruit Mexican and Mexican-American workers in the mills.
Mm. Has the music favored by people in Illinois differed region to region, or has it been a big mix-up? I mean that in a positive way, a good mixing.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good mixing. I think that's one of the unique things about Illinois and about the Midwest in general. And I think it's one of the reasons scholars have kind of missed the boat in really getting a handle on what's defined as folk music. I think they've tended to think of it as a little more, I don't know, homogenous than it really has been, particularly if you look like at states like Illinois or, you know, Wisconsin or Michigan or Iowa, where you do have a lot of different people coming and going from these states and trying to look at music as something static and all English-speaking. It just doesn't hold water. So I think the mixing has been one of the real distinctive characteristics of Illinois' folk
yeah.
music.
Now, with this series, Folk Songs of Illinois, do you think that the music and the musicians will receive more attention from scholars?
Well, you know, it's probably no surprise to you. That was certainly part of my subversive intent with all of this. I mean, I grew up in Wisconsin, but I've spent 20-some years now in Illinois, and I have become a real advocate for the Midwest, and I didn't expect to be that way because I've lived all over the country, but I do feel that having, you know, studied folklore and folk song, and looked over a lot of the academic literature, and also I know a lot about the popular literature and music history as well. I think the Midwest has been somewhat slighted And I really hope this helps bring attention to Illinois music and to the music of the Midwest. And there are a handful of us all involved in this effort. There's some scholars in Minnesota and Wisconsin who are doing similar kinds of projects, all, I think, as part of an effort to kind of have the spotlight shine on the Midwest a little bit more than it has in the past.
Yeah. Well, the series is called Folk Songs of Illinois, the 3CD series. I'm still suffering from a cold I've had for a couple of weeks, and I'm having a heck of a time. But anyway, Folk Songs of Illinois, that's the title of the series. And this gets us to that ticklish question, what is folk music?
Well, you know, there are these academic definitions that floated around for a very long time from the late 19th century into the, well, at least into the 60s and 70s about, you know, the real folk musicians couldn't read music, and all the music had to be transmitted orally by tradition. So, you know, it just was transferred from generation to generation by one person teaching the next. But it gets so complex by the 1920s and 30s with radio and the phonograph that trying to draw those neat boundaries gets more complicated. I think what I tried to come up with was a definition, and it's really just implied in the series that there are these many ethnic communities with their own distinctive folk music traditions that get modified here and commingled, and the music is, you know, influenced by popular music as well. But it still has to be rooted in, at least in my mind, in particular communities. It has to have some ties to what I think everybody would define as traditions and traditional music.
Yeah. Let's sample something else from the collection, maybe something from Carl Sandburg, Jay Gould's daughter. What would you like to say about Sandburg and his contributions to the music of Illinois and the music of America?
Well, Sandburg's a really, really important figure, not just as a poet, but he's one of the first one or two people to really go around and collect folk songs and then publish this book back in the early 20th century on Folk Songs of America that had a huge impact. And I think we often forget that now because we remember even in Illinois we think of Sandburg largely as a poet, but the truth is he was a great collector of American folk music, and then also he was a performer because he was trying to get people to pay attention to this music, so he recorded a lot of the music himself.
Okay, here we go. Jay Gould's daughter.
On a Monday morning it began to rain. Around the bend come a passenger train. On the bumpers was a hobo. Johnny's a good old hobo, but he's dead and gone. Dead and gone, dead and gone. He's a good old hobo, but he's dead and gone. Never to fear, all I wanted was water and coal. Put your head out the window, see the drivers roll. See the drivers roll, see the drivers roll. Put your head out the window, see the drivers roll. Jay Gould's daughter said before she died, Father, fix the blind so the bums can't ride. If ride they must, let them ride the rod. Let them put their trust in the hands of God. In the hands of God, in the hands of God. Let them put their trust in the hands of God. Jay Gould's daughter said before she died, there's one more road I'd like to ride. Tell me, daughter, what can it be? It's the Southern Pacific and the Santa Fe. Santa Fe, the Santa Fe, the Southern Pacific and the Santa Fe.
Where does that tune come from?
Well, there's no known author, so I guess it's the classic anonymous writer of many American folk songs, but it was certainly a very popular song in working class circles in the late 19th and early 20th century, and given Sandburg's sympathy for American workers, it's probably not surprising that that was one that he picked up and made sure he published it and also recorded it.
Yeah. And here we've got a railroad kind of thing going on, and that's another factor in the story of Illinois music.
You mentioned
the rivers, also railroads.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't emphasize too much the importance of the railroads. Of course, they bring many of the African-American workers up. The Illinois Central Line is a classic example of that, and many of them end up in Chicago, but lots of other workers. And this song, you know, really kind of highlights, too, that a lot of people didn't have a lot of money, and they had to hop the freight trains or ride the rods underneath the cars. And, it's a pretty strong criticism, Jay Gould, in the song, and it, not surprising, I guess, given Sandberg's sort of left-wing pro-labor proclivities.
Mm. Well, speaking of pro-labor, maybe we should hear Big Bill Brunzi next.
Great. Yeah.
Before we get to that cut, though, maybe you'd talk about how you made your choices. How did you decide what to include? I imagine this could have been a really overwhelming job.
Well, you know, there was a point when I walked into my colleague's office about 2 or 3 years ago, and I just said, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I'm going to be able to finish this. And he said, no, you've got to keep working on this. And one of the major problems was just trying to decide which songs to include. And, you know, I had somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 songs. I really don't know the exact number, but we had a huge number of possibilities. And what I did was just start sitting down with people and having them listen to them and cut a list down, and then sit down with me in these mass listening sessions. There was one where we were down to about 300 or 400 songs, and I had two friends of mine who are scholars sit down here in my apartment with me, and we narrowed the list down from about 300 or 400 down to maybe 70 or 80 possibilities. So it was a long process. I drove my wife crazy. She just said she doesn't care if she hears another Tamburitza band for another few years, because I'd be popping these things in the car, you know, in the CD player everywhere we were going, and I pretty much drove her crazy after a year or two.
Well, she's a good woman.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, let's hear Big Bill Brunzi now, and this cut comes from the third disc in the series, and it's Black, Brown, and White Blues, and it includes a little clip of an interview that Studs Terkel did with Brunzi. You want to set this up a little bit more than that?
Sure. I'm glad that you mentioned Studs Terkel in relation to the track. And you know, Studs was an early proponent of folk music and a key person in the revival of folk music in the 50s, and became very good friends with Brunzi, and they had a touring music show that they did around the United States and sang many songs. But Brunzi is a real distinctive blues artist. Had been around for years and years, from the 20s until his death in the late 50s, early 60s, but was very eclectic and a very different kind of blues player from most people, but also very sensitive to politics and issues of race, not surprisingly. And I think this song is a really good sort of political blues tune in the best of the tradition.
Okay, let's hear it.
When did you write Black, Brown, and White?
Well, I wrote Black, Brown, and White in 1939, it was. Well, I started singing in 1939 because I was working at a foundry at that time. And, well, I was a molder. I went from a bench molder to a floor molder, making different patterns, make things out of it. And it was, they hired a fella there and put him to work with me. And he worked with me for about, I guess, around a month. And then he got to be the boss there. And that's why, and he would tell me what to do after that. After I learned him what I know, then he got to be the boss there. And so then he was telling me how I should do these things. So after that, I just wrote a song. This little song that I'm singing about, people you know is true. If you black and gotta work for a living now, this is what they will say to you. This is, if you was white, you'd be alright. If you was brown, just take a round. But as you black, oh brother, get back, get back, get back. I was in a place one night, they're all having fun. They're all buying beer
beer and wine, but they would not sell me none. They said, if you was white, you'd be all right. If you was brown, you'd stick around. But as you black, oh, brother, get back, get back, get back. He went to employ me at office, the number that I got in line. They called everybody's number, but they never did call mine. They said, if you was white, you'd be all right. If you was brown, you'd stick around. But as you black, oh, brother, get back, get back, get back.
Big Bill Brunzi, Black, Brown, and White Blues. It's one of the tracks on the Folk Songs of Illinois CD series. It's part of the third disc in the series, Folk Songs of Illinois. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our topic this afternoon, the rich musical heritage of the state of Illinois. Our guest is musician and historian Clark Bucky Hawker. He's the producer of this project. He produced it with the Illinois Humanities Council, and it is called Folk Songs of Illinois. It's distributed by the University of Illinois Press. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with a telephone call. We'd like to hear from you as well. Questions, comments, they're welcome. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Tell us a little bit more about where you found this music. We've got archival material. We played that clip there with Studs Terkel. Old 78s, contemporary recordings. Did some material also come from home recordings or from field recordings?
Right. There were several recordings that we considered that had been done in people's homes when they had little 78 machines you used to be able to buy to do home recordings on. And actually, a lot of musicians used to use those just to record themselves. But, you know, there were old cassettes we came across. There were old reel-to-reel tapes. And then there's lots of stuff from archives at SIU. They have a small collection there, a nice collection, though, and another one that was done in the 70s at Eastern Illinois University. We used some of those, and then I knew other people that had personal collections. And unfortunately, Illinois doesn't have any kind of central repository for this kind of material. And a lot of the 78s we used, most of them, in fact, came from the University of Wisconsin, which has a huge library of 78 RPM recordings. Those were especially useful for the ethnic recordings, some of which have become quite rare.
Yeah. What's the earliest recording in the series and the most contemporary?
Well, the most contemporary would be one literally we recorded, I think it was earlier, well, it would have been last year. Yeah, literally last year, Catherine Davis. We brought her into the studio to record a version of Stockyard Blues. But the earliest one would have been from, I think, 24 or 25. We had a couple really early tracks on there. And actually, we had a couple that we wanted to use that were earlier than that, but the recordings were in such bad shape. Sometimes these 78 recordings, you know, there's only a couple in existence in the whole world that we could locate, and they're in really bad shape unless you want to spend thousands of dollars getting them into, you know, audio, decent audio quality, and we couldn't do that. But, you know, certainly a number of them were from the mid to late 20s.
Mm. How do you find these things?
Well, you know, I had to rely on a lot of people that I know, and they did kind of work for me here and there. Chris Valillo, who's a musician here in Illinois and a folklorist in his own right, went through the collection at EIU for me, and we had some good guides to that, fortunately, and, you know, he pulled out what he thought might be some representative tracks. I had somebody do similar things at SIU. You know, I did a lot of the research myself, and then I had people up at the University of Wisconsin who were kind enough to, especially the library staff there, was digging stuff up for me, so I guess, you know, it, in spite of the fact that, you know, I'm getting a lot of the calls to do the interviews, it really was a group effort in the sense that I really had to rely on other people, especially with ethnic things. I'm not an expert on tamburitsu music, for example, or certain other communities, so I had to call people I knew who really knew the music in those communities to tell me what, like, maybe 10 possibilities might be that we would consider.
Yeah. Let's take a call now. Listener in Bloomington, Illinois, line one. Hi.
Hi. I'm very glad to hear that there is a series like this. And I'll just also mention a recent publication that I purchased, and I believe there's some companion CDs called Dear Old Illinois.
Oh.
And it's a new collection put together by an Illinois fiddle player, Gary Harrison, from Southern Illinois. And then he also, it's not just fiddle tunes, it's also a whole compendium of many, many folk tunes with words, and it's quite interesting. I'm kind of making my way through it because there are hundreds of tunes in there, but I really appreciate all these new resources, so thank you.
You want to give us the title again?
It's called Dear Old Illinois.
Dear Old Illinois, okay.
Yeah, so.
Is it okay if I comment on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm really glad she called in and she mentioned Gary Harrison. Gary has, you know, been collecting stuff since the 70s. Comes from a, you know, folk music background and did a lot of the collection at Eastern Illinois University back in the 70s and 80s through some grant money from the National Endowment for the Arts. And Gary's now down in Bloomington, and he's been working on this book CD project of his own for many years, and I'm very happy it's finally out. Gary has put together just a really impressive piece of work. Unfortunately, it's not getting the publicity it deserves, probably because it's on a very, you know, done by a very small organization and press, but nevertheless, it's very, very important, and Gary was a big help with the Folk Songs of Illinois project that I did as well.
Yeah, we'll have to get him on the show.
Oh, he's a great person. He knows a lot more than I do, especially about the fiddle stuff. I really have to say he's probably the expert on Midwest fiddle music. He knows more than anybody else by far, and he's a very good musician as well. He's a very good fiddler.
Yeah. Does the caller want to follow up? No. Okay. Thanks for the call this afternoon. Other calls are invited as well. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Well, speaking of fiddle music, Disc 2 really concentrates on fiddlers of Illinois, and this is a tradition that goes way back and is still wildly popular today.
Yeah, the fiddle has had a long and really important history in Illinois, which I think is not surprising because it's such a portable instrument, even more so than the guitar and certainly more than a piano. It really became the instrument of choice for most groups who have lived in or passed through the state. And one of the things, you know, I decided early on when I was working on this project is it would be fun to at least on one CD focus on the fiddle because it's really, it's been used by virtually every group that's been in the state.
Yeah, and on this disc, Allison Krauss is there, a girl from our hometown here, Champaign-Urbana, and also so many other kinds of fiddling music. And maybe you would talk with us about one of the tracks on this disc. It is from a Mexican-American ensemble.
Yeah, that would be Sonas de Mexico, which is a band from here in Chicago that's led by Juan Diaz, and Juan has been a big proponent of the Mexican folk music and keeping it alive, but also introducing people to Mexican musical traditions. In fact, his band was recently nominated for one of the Latin Grammy Awards. They were one of the finalists. Unfortunately, they didn't win that, but they've really been doing some great work maintaining traditions and, you know, revising traditions as well. And I really felt that we had to get them into the studio to record a song, and they chose an old traditional Mexican folk song that has wide popularity in a community, and they did just a wonderful job. I have to say, you know, when we recorded that, and we were all there in the studio, and they were doing it live, it was just magic, and the track really jumps out. I think it's just a beautiful recording.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about what the song is about?
Well, it's like so many songs, it's a simple sort of boy-girl love song and nothing tremendously complicated. There's certainly a lot of those on this recording. If you look at the ethnic community and the translated lyrics that we have, there's a number of those. I'm not real familiar with the song, but I do know it has a long history. For example, at the Old Town School of Folk Music, it's one of the songs they regularly have been teaching their students for over 50 years.
Well, okay. Well, let's hear it.
Thank you. escribo contando el mero mi alma se siente triste porque te espero cartas que yo te escribo contando el mero mi alma se siente triste porque te espero ya ay, ay 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 como quisiera que tú vengas a verme cielito lindo antes que me muera.
Zonas de Mexico makes you want to get up and dance.
Oh, definitely. And you can hear, I think, too, if you know, especially if you listen to somebody like Alison Krauss and then you listen to that band, you can hear the much different style and approach to the way they use the fiddle on that track. He really leans into it. It's got a lot of bite, and it's certainly a different technique from the fiddlers you would usually hear from around your region of the state.
Yeah. And it also points out the importance of the immigrant experience yesteryear and today in terms of the musical heritage of Illinois.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things I was determined to bring to this project was a broader perspective that took us beyond the usual, English-speaking, I guess, black or white English-speaking folk songs and started to think more in terms of, you know, all of these groups that came here, and they don't always speak English, but they're definitely playing folk music, and it's being modified by their experience here, so it's not exactly the same as what they were playing in the old country. It's distinctly American. It's just a variation. So
yeah, it's really interesting to see the immigration impact on music today in a city like Chicago. My husband and I were recently in the Chicago suburbs, and we turned on the television one morning on cable, and there was a group of musicians from India playing in Arlington Heights on a little tiny stage.
Yeah. Well, you raise a really good point, and you had mentioned earlier, will there be more CDs? If I had my way, what I would like to do with two or three more CDs is do the more recent immigrants. This project really went up kind of to the Cold War period, and we wanted to get as many of the ethnic communities and communities around the state represented. But what really needs to be done now is for somebody to do a project that concentrates on the communities in the state since the end of World War II, and especially since the Cold War, groups like the Indians and the many Asian groups that have come into Chicago, and more Mexican groups from different parts of the country of Mexico as well.
Yeah. Let's take another call. A listener in Charleston, line 4. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I
just wanted to comment. You were talking about Gary Harrison, and I helped him do some of the collecting down here in Charleston. But he's going to be playing with my daughter, who is his daughter, up at the Trad Fest at Old Town School of Folk Music on January 25th and 26th. It's going to be a great concert. They have Foghorn String Band, the Carolina Chocolate Drops, and Gary Harrison and the New Mules. So if you like traditional old-time music, that's a real cornucopia of stuff.
Well, that's great. I didn't know Gary was on the bill for that concert. I'm glad you called and let us know that.
Yeah. They asked him. I think because they've found out about his collection. And also, if people are interested, the McIntosh ballad collection is included in that Dear Old Illinois.
Yeah.
So there's more than fiddle tunes. There's some wonderful old-time songs, too. So, well, anyway, enjoying your program.
Great.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for the call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free 800-222-9455. One of the things that was fun for me to read in the liner notes was the role of radio in getting this music out to people. And there are a couple of stations, maybe you'd like to, WLS, of course, springs to mind immediately, but there are a couple of stations here in this part of the state that were instrumental.
Yeah, there's WDZ was an important radio station, and actually there's many others around the state, and I just can't remember the call letters offhand, but a very, very important role, and that's something I'm glad you brought up as well. There's work being done on that right now, and I think there's going to be a book out in the next year or two that has some essays on the role of those radio stations in disseminating music in Illinois. But the 20s and 30s, they just played a key role in so many communities, and they were tied in with live performances, and you had a lot of regional stars who we've forgotten today, but they really were very, very important in both radio and in keeping folk music alive, and especially early country music, because there's kind of a fine line, especially in your part of the state, between folk music and early country, and a lot of these people were really country stars.
Yeah. There are a couple of things we've got left on the table here in terms of what we might sample this afternoon. I don't know, in terms of what we've just been talking about, would Girls of the Golden West be appropriate?
Oh, I think that's very appropriate, especially since we just mentioned the role of radio.
Radio, yeah.
And it might make a good point to mention the role of gender as well. One of the things I think that's important to know about Illinois folk music is very early on, women had a really important role, and in early country music, maybe even more so than today, there were a lot of well-known female country artists. Most of them had shows on the radio, and the Girls of the Golden West are just a perfect example of that. They were literally big, big stars on WLS's National Barn Dance.
Okay, this is Lonely Cowgirl.
I'm just a lonely cowgirl, one who longs to roam. I'm just a lonely cowgirl, far away from home. Alone in a great big city, where streets so big and wide. I want to be away out west, out across that great divide.
The Girls of the Golden West, Millie and Dolly Good, Lonely Cowgirl, and they were farm girls.
Definitely,
from Mount Carmel, Illinois.
Yeah, very talented. They're nice, tight harmonies.
Oh, beautiful.
And certainly they highlight the role of yodeling in early country music in the United States as well.
Yeah. And they're featured on the cover of the booklet.
Yes. I definitely wanted to get them on the cover.
Dolly and Millie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. WLS National Barn Dance. What it must have been for them.
Oh, I can't imagine. And there's stories about the people who were, you know, they were stars on the radio, but they didn't know the kind of draw that they would have, and they would go out to these, you know, county fairs and stuff around Illinois, and they would literally be mobbed with people. So it was, you know, it was stardom in those days. There's no question about that.
Yeah. Let's take another call. A listener in Champaign on line two. Hi.
Hi. Excuse me. Just getting a little cold myself. When I asked the guest if he has anything with the Siegel Schwall Band, which I think we're up in Chicago, I don't know if they're still recording, and a local folk singer, Kristen Lems, I don't know whether she's still recording or not. Just curious, and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Well, actually, I can comment on both of those things. Neither of those acts is included on this particular project, but Jim Schwall just was playing last weekend up in Madison when I was coming through from northern Wisconsin. And Corky Siegel, I've worked with Corky on several dates. He's still very involved and working with a chamber act. It's called Chamber Blues, a great, great project that Corky's been involved with now for about a decade. And Kristen Lems is still around, not recording as much as she used to, but she put out a new CD last year, And I see her a couple times a year, and she's definitely still involved in the folk music scene and particularly political music here in Chicago.
Are we due for another revival of interest in this music?
Oh, I definitely think so. And of course, not surprisingly, I'm hoping this helps contribute to all of that. I'm a little saddened of late at the size of the audience and the age of the audience for most of what gets called American folk music. It's definitely a graying and aging crowd, and I certainly would like to see a larger audience. And I think a lot of it is just, you know, the record industry is in trouble these days. It's all kinds of internal, you know, economic things that are just making things difficult for them. And I don't think they have yet come to grips with the digital age. But hopefully, when they finally get that all straightened out, we'll start to see the companies issue, I think, records and music that's a little more diverse than is currently the case in the U.S.
I think that's what really draws me to this collection is its diversity.
Well, that's great to hear, because that was really what I was...
That was our chair after.
Yeah, that's what I was after. I'm a very eclectic person. I'm a songwriter, and I write the most diverse stuff. And, I used to have record companies come out and see me, and they'd say, this is great, but you just are too eclectic. And, you know, I think most people are like diversity, to be honest. And I think this project, I approached the same way, and I wanted to get as many people on here, as many acts that represented a range of music from Illinois' history. And so I certainly hope that people come away with this thinking of just how diverse the music really is in this state.
Yeah. Let's take another call. A listener in Urbana on line one. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if you could speak to polka music, because, I grew up in a Polish background and have, of course, developed more interest in it as I get older, kind of appreciating the music my parents listen to and all that. But you never hear much about it, hardly at all. And if you want to talk about a graying audience, it's polka music's got the same problem. So
yeah,
if you could talk about that, that'd be great. No?
Sure.
I'm so happy this caller called in and asked this question.
Well, it's a very good question, and there are a number of tracks on this collection from Polish acts going back to the 1920s. I'm happy to say I had a lot of people helping me with the music from the Polish community going back to that early period. So it's well represented here, and I really think that polka music in particular, but Polish music in general here in Chicago, is undergoing, I would call, at least something of a revival. Younger people have become more interested in polkas again, and I think people have finally started to realize that the polka is, you know, there are some great players out there, just like any music, just like in blues or jazz, and a lot of it is just finding the right acts. And there are some younger bands. There's a band called the Brave Combo from Texas that's in the Grammy finals this year that I've played with a few times, that are much younger and very eclectic musicians influenced by rock and punk and everything else. And there's a band in Chicago called the Polkaholics. That's a young sort of punk polka band. So, there are people out there really keeping that music alive in both its traditional forms and then in these more modified forms, even with punk music. So.
Yeah. Well, let's sample a little bit of the Polish Mountaineers.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
Okay, here we go.
Uczalego bucie jest dziura, dziura. Błoto z wodą cieka pest, załatać nie ma czem. Zdałaby się jedna rzecz, skóra, skóra. A gdy kieszeń pusta jest, trza się pogodzić z tem. Hej, troski precz, humor dobra rzecz. Take it easy, nie daj się, więc się nie przejmuj złem. Hej, troski precz, humor dobra rzecz. Take it easy, nie daj się, więc się nie przejmuj złem.
Boy, talk about eclectic.
Oh, that song. It's so funny you should pick that. I just love that song, and I had some discussions with scholars about this. They said, well, if you're only going to put one Polish song on there, please don't put that one on there. I said, oh, don't worry, we'll have two or three, so it's not a problem. And I wanted it on there because what you just said, it's really eclectic. I think it shows folk music at its best, because you've got these Polish musicians. There's a lap steel guitar in the background from early country music. The accordion's on there, traditional polka music. And they're playing a song, though, that was written in the early 19th century by Stephen Foster called Camptown Races.
Yeah. So we've got a little bit of parody going on.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And I have no idea. We know nothing about the band or the musicians, unfortunately. I'm so intrigued by why they would choose that song and then come up with that kind of arrangement. They're all very good musicians. I mean, they're very talented guys playing on that track. So
yeah. We got to wrap up now.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I thought we would finish up with a tune. Since we've been talking about Illinois and Illinois music, I thought we would play Illinois.
Oh, great!
You want to just say something really briefly about that
too? Oh well, this song, you know, I think it's one we just had to have on here because it's so specific to the state, and I think of it as a little bit like a real estate campaign. It sort of checks off all the reasons you should come to Illinois. It may be laced with a little bit of irony, but it's a very interesting song that dates back to the 19th century here in Illinois.
Okay, and who do we hear performing this?
We're going to hear on this particular version, we're going to hear Win Strack, I believe,
yep.
Who was a key figure in the Old Town School of Music, one of the founders and a vital part of the early folk revival with Studs Terkel and Big Bill Brunsey here in Chicago and in Illinois.
Okay, here we go. And our thanks this afternoon to our guest, musician and historian Clark Bucky Hawker, the producer of a project of the Illinois Humanities Council, Folk Songs of Illinois, a series of CDs. There are now 3 CDs in the series. Here we hear Win Strack, Illinois.
Way down upon the Wabash, such land was never known. If Adam had crossed over it, this soil he'd surely own. He'd think it was a garden he played in when a boy, and straight pronounce it Eden in the state of Illinois. So move your family westward, bring all your girls and boys, and rise to wealth and honor in the state of Illinois. She's bounded by the Wabash, the Ohio, and the lakes. She's crawfish in the swampy lands, the milksick and the shakes. But these are slight diversions which take not from the joy of dwelling in that garden spot, the state of Illinois. So move your family westward, bring all your girls and boys, and rise to wealth and honor in the state of Illinois. Was here the queen of sheep.
And there we have to leave it, unfortunately. It was a good time this afternoon talking with Bucky Hawker.